I always, had a huge passion for anything with four legs and was always intrigued with horses and wanted to know more about them. So finding out that the Toronto Police had a mounted unit, I think, and I'm not kidding, I've 17 years on and I've been, I've had a wonderful, lucky seven of those at the Toronto Police Mounted Unit. I think for the my first 10 years, all I did was tell everyone who would listen, I want to go to the mounted unit. So I had to do a few things to get there. And as an officer, there were other things that I wanted to do. I worked in domestic violence, sex crimes, child abuse. I did an investigative side of things. And that, as you can well imagine, was quite heavy.
There is a depth and a breadth to our lives that largely goes unexplored. As an equestrian life mindset coach and host of this podcast, I am here to lead you on that exploration. Deep conversations covering topics in and out of the show ring with industry leaders and unsung heroes alike, sharing their stories and what makes their journey unique, but relatable at the same time. We all have stories to share and lessons to trade, something we've learned from a horse or from each other. So relax and be ready to listen with more than just your ears. I'm Tracy Mitchell. Welcome to Hitting Your Stride. This episode has been a long time coming, but today I finally welcome Officer Stacey Jennings of the Toronto Police Mounted Unit to Hitting Your Stride. I met Stacey and her partner Saunders at last year's Royal Winter Fair, and I knew then she'd have some amazing stories to share. Full of passion for her job, Stacey talks about how she worked her way to the mounted unit and how it's been close to reaching her childhood goals of being a zookeeper and a judge at the same time. And while she talks about her other mounts from when she was first with the unit, Stacey's relationship with Saunders has blossomed as they learned to understand one another. We talk about self-care and the importance of having someone to talk with after a hard day on the job, and about how people are drawn to the mounted unit's officers. As Stacey puts it, the size of our boys come in handy when trying to de-escalate some situations. But the horses have a way of making people feel more at home, making some of those tense moments a little easier to deal with. Having no riding experience when she first transferred to the unit, Stacey tells us about the crash course she got from her instructor and how she and Saunders have learned to listen to each other to form a tight and reliable relationship, one where they have each other's backs. There are some really funny stories she shares and some things that resonate with the ideals this podcast is all about. Like I said, this one was a long time in the making, but trust me when I tell you it's worth it. So once again, welcome Stacey to Hitting Your Stride. All right, everybody. Thank you for coming back to Hitting Your Stride. In this latest episode, I have with me Officer Stacey Jennings from the Mounted Toronto Unit. Welcome, Stacey. Thank you for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. We've been waiting for this for a long time and I've been so excited about this interview. So yeah. All right. So you told me that your three-year-old mission was to be a judge or a zookeeper, and that when you finally joined the mounted unit, it felt like you'd accomplished that. What makes this the most rewarding and fun job you've ever had?
I've always wanted to work with animals and I've always wanted to work outside. I've always been big on team environments. And the mounted unit definitely is that. It's one big team, including our animals. We're all part of the herd. And it's just been absolutely the most fun I've ever had, like learning how to ride. I didn't come from an equine background, so I was taught everything like while I was in training. And I feel like it's just something that you're constantly challenged with. You're constantly learning. Every horse I've ever been assigned, I've learned something different from. So I just I think it's been the most fun I've ever had doing a job because of the challenge. And it's a really unique way to police. A lot of people who wouldn't necessarily approach police often approach us because they want to come say hi to our horses. So I mean, I think that's kind of amazing, really. We make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, I know it's a big thing, like you said, and a lot of people who might even find horses hugely intimidating because of their size, and especially the ones that you guys ride, your partners there. That yeah, it's kind of neat when they come up and just want to see them. It puts me in awe, actually, and I'm around horses all the time. It's
Yeah,
just
we have some very big boys with big personalities, and they definitely have a big presence. We
yeah.
have one mare, but we currently have 26 geldings and one mare.
Okay, so is it an obvious reason why you only mainly have geldings?
The environment that they live and train and work in, that's been what we've found the most success with. Trillium, our mare, just happened to be a pretty special horse, and we had the opportunity to train her and see if she did, would make the cut, and she did. So
Okay.
I don't know if there's any mares in our foreseeable future, but the geldings we've always had a lot of success with.
Cool. Okay. And this is a little off topic. Well, I guess it's all on topic here. Where do you guys find your horses?
That's kind of interesting. Like historically, we have big drafts, so they come from, the farmers who use them still for, farming purposes or transportation purposes. We've gotten them in the past from like Amish communities and what have you. Lately, it's kind of unique. We've been working with our farrier's daughter, who has been finding horses for us. She sort of knows what we are looking for in a horse before we take it on and train it. We want to ensure that they kind of have that big, bold, confident personality that would make a good police horse. So lately, she has been seeking out horses for us. Some of them have come from Alberta. A lot of them are in sort of rescue situations. I know you probably know what's happening in Alberta with their draft horses.
Yeah.
So she goes to goes to auctions, seeks up a horse, and she'll work with it for a little bit, and then we'll go try it out. And there's certain tests that we put the horse through to see kind of where it's at, what its personality's like, and then we take it on for a 2-week process, with the option to purchase at the end of the 2 weeks. Our trainers know pretty much whether or not the horse is going to be able to live and work in this in the policing environment, or if they're just more suited to something else. So we've had great success with her helping us, and we have just recently got two more horses that are from her, and I think that will be complete 10 at least that she's
Wow.
found us.
That's
So
cool. So she's got a real eye for it.
yeah, it's we've had a lot of success with that, with her seeking them out for us. So hopefully we'll continue to do that. We don't have our own breeding program, but we have an inside scoop on someone that knows horses, that's knows what will make a good police horse. So we're
Nice.
lucky.
Yeah. Okay. So what was the draw for you to join the mounted unit? You told me that you didn't have any equine experience before you moved to the mounted unit. So what made this so desirable for you?
I mean, I love animals. I always have. I've worked with animals in the past in university, studied some biology at University of Manitoba, and worked exclusively with Canadian geese, actually, which is kind of funny. I've always, had a huge passion for anything with four legs and was always intrigued with horses and wanted to know more about them. So finding out that the Toronto Police had a mounted unit, I think, and I'm not kidding, I've 17 years on, and I've had a wonderful, lucky 7 of those at the Toronto Police Mounted Unit. I think for my first 10 years, all I did was tell everyone who would listen, I want to go to the mounted unit. So I had to do a few things to get there, and as an officer, there were other things that I wanted to do. I worked in domestic violence, sex crimes, child abuse, did an investigative side of things. And that, as you can well imagine, was quite heavy. So it kind of, I've reached a point in my life where I was really needing like something less heavy. And that's the fortunate part of being part of this big, massive city service, is there's a lot of different options. So I completed my investigative role and said I need to do something completely opposite of this. and headed towards the horses, and I haven't looked
Wow.
back ever since.
That is so cool. I just love it. I mean, they're so healing to begin with for us.
Definitely.
Oh, and they just read your energy. They, you know, and there's this sense of comfort. Like we'll talk about this more, but yeah, I couldn't imagine. That's so cool. How many partners have you had?
My first partner that I had, he was a big Percheron giraffe. His name was Dragoon. We actually sadly just recently lost him. He had a bad colic, and is I guess what did they say? They crossed the rainbow bridge. They're in greener pastures in heaven. Had Sutherland. He was a thoroughbred Percheron cross, very athletic. Charger, also a thoroughbred Clydesdale cross, very athletic, very. I would say that horse was the one that actually really taught me how to ride. If you were giving him incorrect cues, he had no problem letting you know that. He was very particular, if you will. And then after Charger, I was paired with Trooper. He is a big Morgan Percheron, I believe, cross, and he's recently retiring. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, he's served the city well for the past 10 years. And now, sorry, then I had Saunders. So I guess it's five, six. Saunders was a pure Clydesdale. He was one of Donna Lowe's horses. So the our farrier, Don Lowe, our farrier. Whose daughter we're working with. She worked with Saunders before we got him, and then I was fortunate enough to work with him right after he came out of the training office. He was
Nice.
wonderful. And I think that's who you met at the Royal.
Yes. Yes. He's
Very
very.
runny. He's got a beautiful speckled chest and
Yes.
heart of gold.
And I could, like, as soon as you had, like, you're like, oh, do you want to meet him? I'm like, yes, of course I want to meet him. Like, you just look like a proud mom.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's probably one of my most favorite horses that I worked with because I got him right out of the training office. We experienced a lot of firsts together. So that was neat seeing him. Things really click for him, and then things really click for me as far as like the bond that we created. He's a pretty special horse.
That's amazing. Okay, so the experiences you've had as a police officer over your career are very wide-ranging, but they also include some intense aspects, like you mentioned, where you were investigating gang crime, sex crimes, and child abuse. How have you been able to take care of yourself mentally that allowed you to cope with your job, but also have a life not consumed by your work?
It's a loaded question. I don't know if any of us are really good at that. I know there's a lot of resources that we can use and utilize when needed if we ever need to talk to somebody. And I mean, I think my partner, she is a police officer. I think that is very beneficial. There's a lot of things that I couldn't talk about with my friends or my family. I wouldn't want to scare them. So it is kind of definitely beneficial to be able to come home and be very candid and true to what your day was like and have somebody just go, oh, well, I had the same thing happen to me, or just be able to relate to it without having that panicked like, oh my God, that happened. Because I really that is just part of our day-to-day
Yeah. Wow.
dealing often with trauma. I mean, people don't call us when they're having a good day usually, right? So I'm definitely at home. I'm very lucky to be able to talk about things when I need to.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I like you said, you're usually there at a time when things aren't going well. And, you know, the human mind, body, soul, its ability to absorb, sort of pick apart and then release all of that must be so challenging. What kind of stuff then do you and your now partner Saunders do? So, like, do you guys, you're not in there amongst the tough stuff, or where do you guys find yourselves?
Well, I often say like we sort of do everything that mostly everything that the officers on bikes do, but we do it from horseback. So
Okay.
we're our primary response to serve the city is crowd management, and the horses are incredible at that. That's been something that's been their specialty since the dawn of our unit over 136 years ago. So it's and it the misconception is that the horse will then have contact with the crowd, and really that is absolutely such a rare thing. With proper instructions and just the sheer presence of the officer on the horse, people are very compliant and willing to, part the seas, so to speak, and, let the ambulance get through the crowd. Or, we have to get off the, we've taken over an intersection, but now it's time to let traffic through. So now we're going to clear this intersection. So, I mean, I've even done that with two horses, and just a lot of really good direct verbal communication to the people that are, on the ground, and with the horse just gently walking towards them, and me saying, "I'm sorry, guys. Like, can you please get back on the sidewalk? It's unsafe. We need this area clear for emergency vehicles." People are quite compliant, and it's not like in the movies where I come and I'm charging in, and in an emergent situation, stuff like that could happen. We have troop movements where we do utilize. Horses either in a section of four, or they could be a section of eight. So there's different ways that we move a crowd and change the crowd dynamic. But I feel like just the horses are the size of our boys, and the sheer presence of them is enough to de-escalate really any such situation. They're very good at that. So that's something that we do, but I will still, you'll see me stopping vehicles and enforcing, red lights and people on cell phones and stop signs, or we go
Okay.
to community events where it's kind of like a pet the pony. It's we'll go to like a little a kid's public school, and we'll do a Q&A with a grade four class. So there's a lot of like PR and a lot of stuff like that that we do for community events. But we're also very in tune with what's going on in the city. We do, or we live downtown, the barn's downtown, but we've got a truck and trailer that we can get anywhere in the city. So you'll often see us if there's a community that's sort of plagued by like gang violence. Say there was a shooting in a neighborhood, you'll often see us the very next day, and that's partially to let the public know and that community know that we hear you, we're listening to you, we don't like what's happening. We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem, because everyone will notice that the police are on horseback, and we're pretty big, so we're hard to miss. But then often that will draw people out of their homes and come talk to us. And we've had, very good information that we've passed on to lead investigators to help sort of solve the violent crime. So people will come out and start talking to us. They'll come out to see the horse, but then realize, there's an officer on the back who I'm not afraid to talk to, or I want to talk to. So, I mean, there's a lot of benefit definitely for the animal to be able to bridge that gap.
Yeah, wow. That is so cool. I never thought about that part. So just to go back to you and your welfare and health, self-care and stuff, what do you do for yourself outside of the horses and or and work? Like, do you enjoy other sports? Do you like what other things help Stacy keep going in this job?
I love sports. I'm fairly active at playing all sports, watching all sports. Just was at the Jays game yesterday. It was
Nice.
amazing. Really close to my got a very close group of friends, and we're all quite active. So we play hockey, volleyball. We're recently getting into basketball, which is kind of fun. A bunch of 50-year-old ladies playing basketball for the first time is quite entertaining. But no, I definitely do keep busy. As you know, this has taken us forever to connect. And just the usual. I enjoy outdoors. I've got two amazing dogs and a partner, and we go for hikes and go to the
That's
beach. We're very
perfect.
close to the water.
Yeah.
And then I'm very fortunate to have friends also outside of work that have lovely little farms and horses. So it's also there's nothing more relaxing than sitting bareback on a horse staring between two ears. So and going for a little hack in the forest. I do
That's
love that.
awesome. That's awesome. That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
So one of the things I love most about what you've told me already about your Mount Saunders is that a day doesn't go by where you don't learn something from him or with him. Do you remember what the first thing was he taught you, and how do you carry that with you still?
Well, he helped me learn patience. And I think that's something I've always struggled with my entire life. I like to jump into things feet first and just get it done. And you can't do that with a young horse who, for instance, has never seen Lake Ontario. So it was interesting to work with him, gain his trust, and know that sometimes you have to, you know, ask a few times before you get the results you want. And that's okay. And it doesn't mean you failed. It doesn't mean you failed to teach him anything. It doesn't mean you failed as a, as a horse trainer that day. Like it just means there's maybe a different way to ask him. Often I found if he wasn't doing what I was needing him to do, it wasn't necessarily because I was asking him incorrectly. It just was, he wasn't understanding it. So I always say you have to kind of listen to each other. It's a give and take relationship. So that was, for him especially, that was one thing that he taught me. Because the other horses that I had previously been paired with were seasoned vets. So they taught me everything. I didn't really have to teach them a thing, but it was pretty neat. It was definitely a neat experience taking Saunders to Lake Ontario. For the first time, I could feel his heart in my legs. He was terrified. And I thought to myself, I'm like, he's never seen a lake before. This is the first time he's ever seen it. So I tried to, bring him up to the, I didn't want him to be afraid of it. We often work on the beach, so it's something he's going to see throughout his career.
Cool.
I didn't want him to be afraid of it. So I thought, well, I'll just see if I can walk him up to it. He was having no part of that. So it was, we eventually got there, and now he loves the water, but it was just a very unique learning experience, and I'm very grateful to have had it. And I mean, that's just one of many examples for sure.
That is awesome. You've had a chance to organically grow your partnership with Saunders from the first day he joined the unit, and you've shared some first togethers together. Riders know what it's like to forge a partnership with their horse, but how different is it for you and Saunders given the work that you do?
Well, trust is a huge factor. And I know that that's why our wonderful bosses assign us a horse. Like the end game is to be able to ride anything in the barn at any given time. Not all horses and riders are there. We have a lot of experience in the barn, and then we have a lot of horses and people that are green. So, but it's definitely a huge factor to be able to trust one another. We're put in really sometimes precarious situations, and you have to know that your equine partner has your back as much as you have his back. So that was learned very quickly with Saunders and I as well. The first event that we had to police the beach, it was Canada Day. And it was the day before Canada Day. So it was the day before the big Ashbridges Bay spectacular firework celebration. And a lot of people decided to bring their own fireworks down to the beach, which isn't allowed. It's illegal. And it's definitely illegal to shoot them at each other and to light Roman candles and shoot them at us, the horses. I actually took a Roman candle like right under his feet, which, obviously scared both of us. And he was incredible. He, like, I called it a Papa Wheelie because it was a very small rear and turned quickly. And all I saw was open beach. And he could have, if he wanted, just taken off. And we could have ended up from, Ashbridges Bay, we could have ended up in Whippy because it was just a long stretch of beach. And all I thought to myself, I'm like, no, we got this, buddy. We're going to get through this. We both collected ourselves. I turned him quickly so that he could face his friends, and he saw another horse. We just even trotted over calmly, and then we walked away and we regrouped. And it was a surreal experience because horses are prey animals. Their natural response when something terrible happens to them is to run away from it. It's how they survive in the wild. So I know that was his first inclination, was to take off. but instead he stood with me and had my back, which was an incredible feeling.
That is incredible. My goodness. I think when you and I first met, I told you the story that I massaged a retired horse from the mounted unit. His name was Lincoln. And what a sweet horse. I mean, for the last 6 years of his life, he's now passed on over the Rainbow Bridge. But even till his last day, like, he was a marcher. Like, he just moved like he was still patrolling the streets, and he was just the sweetest horse. And every single time I laid my hands on him, I felt, I don't know, just because I'm just such a softie, I guess, but I felt this awe and this overwhelm of appreciation and like just honoring him. He was just such a cool, cool guy. And I remember when I first started massaging him, his mom showed me a video of him, and he took part in the G20 summit. I can't remember what year that was, but that was when like all of Toronto was going crazy. And she showed me a video of Lincoln like running over a protester. And it's just like, holy cow. And like, he wasn't doing it with malice. He was just like, people were running up to him and getting in the way and causing trouble. And he's just doing his job. How has it,
and
has
lighting it ever... police cars on fire.
Pardon?
And lighting police cars on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
That happened during the G20 also. It was crazy.
It was crazy. And I just, you know, when I see them all suited up and like you said, you know, they're animals, like they're prey animals. So the idea that these big, beautiful, kind-hearted beasts just voluntarily do that is just like, yeah, it's amazing to see that. And then as you describe your relationships, it's just, it's so cool. It is so cool. All right. What is the mindset you put yourself in when you figured out the mounted unit was where you wanted to be, knowing you were going to have to learn how to ride and communicate with a partner who speaks his own language?
I think that for me was part of what intrigued me to it. And I mean, learning to ride is one thing, but yeah, you're working with a partner that doesn't communicate verbally, doesn't speak your language, and you have to be able to communicate with one another. So, I mean, that part kind of fascinated me. I've studied a little bit of equine behavior at University of Guelph. I'm still studying, actually. And yeah, it fascinates me. So the learning how to ride, I think I'm still learning how to ride. I think every day there's different stuff you can learn. So I found it so different and so challenging, and was so into the challenge. So I think that was when I knew it was for me. I was set to do this for hopefully quite some time, a long time.
That's awesome. So did you learn to ride under the guidance of the mounted unit, or did you go to a local farm and just sort of take weekly lessons as well? How did you get started into this if you weren't a person?
I was taught how to ride by my sergeant, Christopher McCarthy. He's taught many, many people all across North America how to ride. And I think that part was the easy part, the learning the basic fundamentals. But we went through a 15-week program. The amount of riding that we did, I believe he said it was the equivalent during those 15 weeks to probably riding for 3 to 4 years, just the hours that we do put in. I lost 12 pounds. I was exhausted constantly, but man, it was fun. It was great. And then the horses that we learned on, he would select like some of our seasoned vets. So they basically, they knew what they were doing before we did. So it made it a little bit easier for us, but it definitely was a challenge, but cool. It was fun.
That's awesome. Now, do the horses get time off? I know people I've heard talk about, you know, it's like, oh, I wonder what these horses, are they always downtown Toronto in their barn, or do they get holidays? How's that work?
They do get holidays. They definitely get downtime. They work shifts, work like just like we do. Me personally, in a 7-day schedule, if one of those 7 days, if we don't have an event or if we don't have an assignment, I do like to take a couple hours out of one of those days and do kind of a little unwind for both of us and do a bit of a mental health day for Saunders. And just, you know, if time permits and we don't have anything operationally that we need to meet, I will take him just to, you know, say High Park, something away from like the hustle bustle of downtown, or walk along the waterfront. And it'll just be, you know, meet and greet, wave, hand out map cards, you know, just enjoy the people enjoying the beach, but it won't be anything stressful for him or myself. So I always try to do that. But then they also are rotated every 2 weeks and they get to go to, we have a farm that we use. There's a retired police officer has a farm, and we rent some paddock space from him. And then every 2 weeks, two of our horses go up to the farm and just do really important horse stuff. So nice. They do get it. They definitely do get a break. And then we also, you know, we have the indoor arena that we utilize, so we can turn them out and just let them, you know, hang out and roll even if they want to, or boogie around the arena, you know. Yeah. So they're definitely well looked after and well loved.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. I could sense that from you when, like I said, when we first met and just you talking about them and the way you wanted me to meet Saunders. And I couldn't imagine like having, you know, a dog or a cat or a pet, and we all know what it's like to own a horse, and you go to the barn and there's that horse for you, and we develop relationships that way with them. But what you guys have as partners, I think, is something I've never had the opportunity to talk to someone about before, which is why I just think this conversation is just so cool. So yeah, I just think that's
definitely pretty special. I feel very fortunate to be able to police in such a unique environment and with such a unique partner. It is something special. And the animals, like, there's 45 officers and 27 horses, and they all mean the absolute world to us. So
now, may I ask, what would you do if someone ever went to hurt Saunders, or what has that ever happened? Or like, I couldn't imagine, like, does your inner Hulk just come out and like, what do you get away from my horse? Like, what do you do?
You know, for the most part, we're very lucky. I'm going to knock on wood, and people do appreciate them. And, you know, I never want to put any of them in harm's way. I'll put any of my human partners in harm's way. Stupid stuff does sometimes happen. People have struck the animals and been subsequently arrested. You do go into, like, you're always professional about it, but we're also human. So yeah, there is the protective mom mode, like, does creep in to that situation for sure. For the most part, I've had it happen very rarely. It's usually in the bar district. That's another thing that we do. Like, on the weekends, you'll see us downtown, right where all the clubs are, sort of mitigating fights, assisting people finding their way home. And occasionally you'll get someone who's intoxicated who does strike one of our horses. They're usually arrested, and they're dealt with, like, accordingly. I've often yelled. A yell will happen. and a good scolding. But we're quite lucky. I think the city is quite enamored by them as well. So you'd be... we have more positive experiences than negative, let's say that.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. Okay, good. So you're continuing your journey to learn about equine science, equine massage therapy, and holistic therapy. What's the importance of continuing to learn for you? And what can others learn from your drive to keep making yourself better?
For me, it kind of started during COVID, and all of my sports were canceled. Going a little bit stir crazy. Always wanted to sort of further my education. I have a BA in film, and I'm a police officer. I know that's random, but a love for the animal, a love for the horse. I figure the more I can learn about the horse who I'm partnered with, I can be the better advocate I can be for their health and welfare. So That was the drive. It was during COVID that I started, and I was enjoying it so much. I'm like, well, I can do this. And it's all online, so it was really, it was easy to adapt to my shift work. And I'm only a few courses away from my diploma, so I did keep with it. I think anyone that owns a horse or works with a horse should take an interest in being a good advocate for them. You want them to be happy and healthy. I do believe, like dogs, I do believe horses enjoy a job. And I would encourage anyone to, you know, read a book, to take a class online, or to go visit Guelph, Equine Guelph. There's a lot of different ways you can learn and educate yourself. And I think it's an important thing to do, is just basically be their advocate. You have to, when they're not feeling well, you have to be able to figure it out. So
absolutely. I find, as you know, my 24 years of being a registered equine massage therapist, I've had many situations where it's like, okay, exactly it. You know, I might be hearing one thing from the owner and seeing one thing, but what I'm picking up from the horse and feeling from the horse is completely different. So sometimes those conversations aren't that comfortable, but yeah, I mean, that's my role. And I do take it very seriously. I take it to heart. I love all my horses, like, because they're mine, you know, because there's such an attachment there. But yeah, I hear you. It's true. It's especially in your role, because I don't know, let's just play the devil's advocate here. A lot of riders might not have had that experience like you have had to really entrench that relationship, right? So they hop on, they go, they do their class, they go to the show, they do well. But when it comes down to the crunch, they've never been where you have found yourself with these horses, relying on their relationship that they have with you, et cetera, and for you sticking up for them in these situations.
Call me crazy, but I often say to myself, not what can the horse do for me, but what can I do for this horse? So it's, they do so much for me already. So I do have a passion to try to be a little bit in tune with them, especially when it comes to ouches, pain, discomfort. You know, I guess it is a kind of a unique situation, because I'm spending so much time with this animal. They are my partner. So I would benefit, like he benefits from the amount of time that I do spend with him. And not everyone would maybe have that opportunity. So I think the biggest thing is just to try to listen. And that's not necessarily listening to something vocal, something that's audible. It's just being able to, I think, read them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that whole intuition. It's the vibes. It's that woo-woo thing that some people aren't that in tune to. Yeah. All right. I imagine you and Saunders have found yourselves in some pretty funny and unique situations. You've shared one. What can you tell us about that? Do you have any other Saunders stories that might provide a giggle or two?
So one of the very first solo rides I did with Saunders, often with a young horse, you'll go out with a partner. So he has a horse partner. But we're encouraged to do solo rides as well, because, you know, the idea is the more confident you and your horse are solo, the better you're going to be able to work in a team environment. So one of our very first solo rides, we went to Dundas Square. I don't know if you're familiar with that part of Toronto, but it's very much in the heart of downtown. There's a lot of different types of people there. We ended up at the busiest intersection, one of the busiest intersections in the city, with a lady who was having a reaction to, let's say, a street drug that she had taken, and she was disrobing. There was a band playing in the square, and she decided to do like a strip off, I guess, in the middle of the intersection. And then she was trying to get people that were waiting for the streetcar to participate. It was a complete disaster, and she was half naked and was trying to dance and rub up on Saunders, and he was furious. He was having none of it. He was like, "I don't like this. I don't know why she's touching me. I don't want any part of this." And so now he's kind of doing this like rocking horse thing, and he's standing there. He's behaving, but now he's stamping his foot. It was like, I'm trying to use the radio. I'm trying not to laugh at his reaction to her. And then the public's reaction to him reacting to her, people were dying. It was the funniest thing. They're like, "Yeah, he's mad." I'm like, "Yes, he is. He's quite irritated with that."
That lady was far
Needless to
too
say,
inside his
we
bubble.
had our good, yes. We did get her to the hospital where she could seek medical treatment for the street drug that she took.
That is.
And I also got her a coat.
Oh, you go. Oh my goodness, Stacy. Yes, I'm sure you experience a lot of interesting things out there. My goodness. All right, so it's only one part of your life, but can you put into context what it means for you to be living out one of your dreams every time you saddle up for work?
Yeah, I mean, it's the excitement of every day is a new day. You never know who you're going to meet, what's going to happen, what you're going to learn, where you're going to end up. It's pretty phenomenal. I do feel very fortunate every time I'm in the saddle, for sure.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, living a life with the attitude of gratitude. I mean, it just reinforces more, I believe, of what you love. So, yeah, that's amazing. So, there you have it. I have some great interviews lined up for future episodes, and we'll be covering some pretty interesting topics. As always, with the intent to open and engage the horse world on a wide variety of issues. So until next time, keep your eyes forward and continue to hit your stride. To stay current with Hitting Your Stride, subscribe on my website or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. If you like what you've heard here today, make sure you share and leave a comment to help guide future episodes and widen the audience. And be sure to check out social media to keep up to date with Equestrian Elements Life Coaching.